Father, thank you for every season. Thank you for, you know, there's a day to mourn and there's a day to laugh. You know, there's a day to sow and a day to reap. We thank you for all seasons because you are our God. And because you're our God, no matter what in this lifetime, we are not shaken. And we stand on the firmness, the truth, the unchanging word of God, who is you yourself, Lord. And we say thank you. So today, as we hear your word, Father, we ask that our ears would be attentive and there be nothing operating within the inner man of ourself that would keep us from accessing what you are offering to us in a fresh way. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we have 2 Corinthians 4:7-18. It's quite long, so I wonder if you guys would read it with me. So if it is in the, is it too late to change the version or no? No, it's not too late or it is too late? It's too late? Okay. All right, then let's read it together. Here we are. We're going to go from 7 to all the way to 18. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair. We're going all the way to 18. I'll read it. Let me know when it's up, okay? Viv, can you let me know when it's up? That's it? Okay, let's go. For we who are alive, wait, this isn't 9. We skipped 9. Persecuted, not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. This is 9? It's not. Okay, sorry, because I tend to preach long. I think we've got to move along. Verse 9, it says, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be made manifest in the body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh, so that death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, and we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might work, might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And this is the word of God. Amen. So last Sunday, we had a ministry heads meeting. And individuals are in transition. And I know that Aurea has been saying this. this Sunday. Thank you. Hi. No, I felt shy there. So here we're talking about transitions. And the Lord said distinctly that there would be an uncomfortableness, a discomfort in this season for many people. And discomfort by definition, although I probably don't have to define it for you, is uncomfortable. It's something unnatural to our former way of having, being, experience, and even preferring. But when God initiates a transitional time, it's very important because I've been in several transitions and I've seen people who rode through transition well and came out of it embracing what God had and moving forward. And I've seen people who did not ride transition well and could not shake off the opposing voices. And to this day, I see those individuals like in a lost wilderness, not having been able to move forward and embrace the upgrade that actually God was bringing onto their life. So when God initiates a transitional time, it's important to ride it through all the way. To not cooperate with God or fail to see what he's doing and fail to see his nature in the process of the turbulence and turmoil could mean delay of God's will. But I will tell you by experience, I've seen this, people missing opportunities that have come within the timing, within divine timing. But there's another reason why we have to ride out transition well. And it's simply because we choose to cooperate with God because we love him. Amen? Loving God is not always felt. Okay? Especially like, trust me, as I'm wrestling through something with God in this season, it's not always felt, nor is it very comfortable. But loving God and love in general is basically done through choices that we make on behalf of the benefit of the other person, and in this case, the Lord. This is a transitional time for individuals and for the body. How long the transition is definitely not a one-time thing, and it's not going to be a one-time thing. And the length of how long it lasts could be months, it could be years. Transition is the in-between phase from where we have been to where God says the now, the new now season is coming. It's the in-between phase. It's not to be processed. Transition is not to be processed as if this is it. The in-between can be uncomfortable, uncertain, what we may not choose or want for ourselves naturally. But it is an active, I will tell you, an intentional kairos time initiated by God. And because it's something that is initiated by God, it's very essential that we have to segregate our voices from God's voices and really tune into God and what he is saying. We may need to journal what God says to us, dialoguing with him through it, because part of the transition goal is that we're growing in an upgrade with God. So we're going to have to go to him a little bit more than you may be used to. Because the answers lie in the Lord. And Jesus, being our King and Lord, wants to guide us through transition. Failure to listen to God could result us remaining in the same place, in the same way, making the same choices without ever entering into the shifts that God brings. And each transition will look different and feel different, but the commonality is that it will always move us to a fresh level. See, God is never stagnant. He's never on hold using all, let me take that back. Sometimes he is on hold for our sake. God is never stagnant, offering us old water to relieve us of dryness or old food to feed us. In the Old Testament, when the Israelites were given manna, which was their daily bread, the requirement upon them was that every day in the morning they would go out and collect a fresh portion. And they were clearly told, do not save it for the next day. Except for the day before Sabbath, they were able to collect enough for 2 days because on Sabbath they weren't supposed to be working. And God wasn't going to send any manna on Sabbath. So if they went and they did disobey the Lord and they did not heed his voice and his instruction, you know what happened? What happened to the manna? This beautiful honey-like wafer. You know what happened? It spoiled. Did it just spoil though, Simon? It stank and it bred worms, the Lord said in the word. So God is always progressing us forward, offering fresh water to drink, fresh food to eat, fresh invitations and levels of experience. This is a beautiful thing. This is an exciting journey with God. And for this, he does require something. And the requirement is that he requires new wineskins to hold the new wine. You know why? Simply because old wineskins are insufficient to hold the new drink. Actually, it is in God's mercy. It is in God's mercy and kindness and goodness and love for us that he will not pour new wine into old wineskins. He will require the transitioning of the wineskin to the new. We see in Matthew 9:17, nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, and the wine is spilled, and the new wineskins are ruined. But they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both, it says, are preserved. So here, when God transitions us from the old into the new, he requires the new wineskin because both are preserved. What he has given, which is the new wine, as well as ourself, the new wineskin. Because without the new wineskin, we will not be able to sustain or walk in that new season that God has brought onto us, or that new portion. Transition, although often uncomfortable, it will, I promise, end in growth. And it will, I promise you, will have you take on a new portion of your godly inheritance. Say, my godly inheritance. Say, I have a godly inheritance that is for me, specifically for me. Hello? Specifically for me from the Lord. And it is good. It is so good. And I want it. Say, I don't want it like want it. I want it. Amen. So the blueprint of God for each one of our lives and for the church is laid out on the drafting table of heaven. And it is bigger than what we see today. Do you believe that? Sometimes I have trouble in dry seasons believing that. But I believe it. Bigger than what we're seeing in the now, and always, always, always has an eternal aspect woven into it. Just as we read in the passage, verse 18, it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So what are some of the transitions that God may be taking us through? And how can we endure the discomforts and the hardships that come with it? In order that we might write it out well. First, let's talk about the transitions that might be taking place. The first type, I'm going to talk about three types of transitions, and I want to say they're all spiritual, because I know somebody's going to say, well, you didn't say spiritual transition. Well, because they're all going to be spiritual, okay? Everything is spiritual, okay? Except for, things that don't have spirits. Number one, transition is coming, or that you might be finding yourself in, is relational. Say relational. Relational. Changes in relational dimensions or aspects. For some of you, the person that you're in transition with is actually God. And he, in this time of transition, God is requiring you to attend to your relationship with him in a new or more intentional way. For others of you, or some of you, a few of you, you're in a transition where you need to let go completely of old relationships. Not because they're necessarily bad, but because it's a transitional time for you into a new day. One of the biggest transitions the only transition that I actually remember being in that was actually quite major, recently was back in 2010. I don't know if you guys remember that season, but it was very memorable to me because it was actually a time that God was transiting Sam and I out of and May and Ray and a lot of the body of Christ. All around, it was shifting. Like, we had friends moving here, going to Hong Kong. Like, I'd never seen people up and leave, and we didn't really think, you know, we were going to be part of that, but we became part of that transition too. You know, so 2010, the Lord transited us out of our old church, Harvest International Church. Now, that was a beautiful church. You know, it was just like us. We're a beautiful church. So many amazing things happened, incredible favor, all of that. But what made the church so beautiful was, every time I reflect on it, it kind of reminds me, it does remind me of this church in that dimension, is the heart of the people. It just, we had a lot of just humble people, even the staff. We had five pastors. Everybody just wanted kingdom, you know. No matter what would happen, our first struggle, no matter, you know, there'd be relational issues and stuff, our first question to always go back to is, how can we honor God in this? How can we ride through this with the Lord at the center of it? And because of that, God gave us so much favor. There was just an intense favor over Harvest those years. Well, the dynamics of our relationship there with our members was amazing. And they looked to us for so many things. And we clearly had a spiritual synergy and great favor, you know, in that season. And when God transited us out, Mary and Ray could, you know, identify with all this. When he moved us out in 2010, it was heartbreaking. It was heart-wrenching. The transition was so difficult, so painful. Not the way that I dreamed in my mind of how we would be released. I'm not sure it was all God. I think there was some unresolved pain involved in the process. But God brought it out well. And, you know, but in my mind, you know, this is the way our relationships were. There was always a spiritual synergy. There was always a spiritual, just a great, you know, relational dynamic in the spirit. So years later, they were very kind to invite us back. Actually, Ethan and Angela are from that church too. I'm sorry. They invited us back for Sam to speak, and he spoke there. And in my mind, this is how I left. But when we went back, yes, God used us and so forth. It wasn't the same. The spiritual synergy was not there. And it was very clear to me that our season there and the way God operated and used us had come to a close. And I think they were hoping for that same dynamic. You know, they're coming back, and it's going to be like the old days. It wasn't, because it was a new day. It was a new wineskin, and that wasn't part, you know, of what we were called to do. So that's an example of how these things can shift, and it's not because the relationship was bad. It's just we were in a new place in a new season. For some other of you, it may be that current relationships that you have in this time of transition is going to have to be engaged with, and it's going to have to grow in a way that it hasn't and has been stagnant. And for you to come into a new phase, that relationship might need to grow, and God's challenging you in that place. Maybe for others, it's a season of letting go of certain entanglements with relationships that you've had, and you've always wanted it and needed it to be a certain way, and you're feeling a discomfort because there's a shift that God's bringing for growth. Then you need to cooperate with God in the timing of what he's giving you. However it may be, this shift in relationships may be because, my fault. However it may be, it is important for us to not interpret what is happening in the discomfort of what we're going through and the pain of what we're going through as something necessarily bad. But we need to seek God for understanding and his interpretation of the time and season that we're in. Because although God himself is peace, and what resolves from God at the end is peace, I will tell you, when God is moving, it's not always peaceful. It's not always comfortable. It doesn't always look so organized and altogether well, especially in a time of transition. The second type of transition that God may be taking us through is emotional. Can you say emotional? New levels of processing and handling feelings and thinkings. My bet is that God is transitioning a lot of us into renewed thinking. Renewed thinking brings transformation into the essence of us. There's a speaker that a lot of us are familiar with named Graham Cook. And he says that God is giving us an upgrade. Kingdom thinking is an upgrade. Renewed minds, renewed thinking is basically thinking as God thinks. And kingdom thinking is an upgrade in lifestyle, where you're not toiling, but you know the Heavenly Father has worked out all things for your good, and He provides all things. You don't live as a beggar, but you live as one who knows that you're well cared for and highly enthroned with God because of Jesus Christ. Renewed mind opens up. You know, this is all even scientifically proven. When there is healing and there's freshness and all of this, the neurons and the flow of brainwaves start to travel in the mind in fresh ways with new capacities to understand and see. And where the impossible seems so impossible to the renewed mind, the impossible begins to look possible. Understanding, revelation, all of these things start to flow as Holy Spirit dominates the mind is what's happening in the renewal of the mind. And there's revelation, understanding, and wisdom. The more our minds become renewed, we'll see a greater increase of spiritual creativity because thoughts are not physical, they are spiritual. And even the secular schools are catching on to this idea and understanding this. You know, as science has begun to prove all this, like a month or two ago, Sage came home and she opened up her iPad. She said, Mom, take a look at this video. I learned this in health class. And the health class is showing this video of how positive thinking and good thoughts and giving lots of positive talk really keeps children from getting sick versus when the innermost heart is heavy laden. It has a lot of complaining and negativity, you know, because the words reveal what's in the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, our mouth speaks. So when we hear a lot of negativity and complaining and so forth, in health class, in secular class, they're teaching that kids, children, you're getting more sick as a result, and this affects the body. And this is all in the book of Proverbs, right? Pervasive negative thinking is rooted in the flesh. And this is happening because there's a foothold in our life that God wants to release. The flesh is undiscerned. It's hostile, and it opposes God. It's going to feel inside of you resistant to what God is saying, to His understanding, to the spirit of mercy, to the spirit of grace. Because it would the flesh will require justice. It will require punishment. It will require vengeance. It will require this and that. But the spirit that is freed up in the Lord will be able to understand through the spirit-bred understanding with a heart of mercy, with a heart of grace, over and over again. The answer, if we struggle in this area, for us is quite simple. We need to humble ourselves, repent, and submit our will to God. Because God is going to require the renewal of the mind in order to carry out the heavenly blueprint for your life. We can, from now till we are 90 or 100, live like the world and not have the renewed mind. We can strive for the good career, have a big house, whatever makes you happy in the way that the world presents happiness. But if we want to come into a place where God is able to carry out the blueprint of heaven that He has for our life, that's beyond just that, the temporal things, and into things that are going to make eternal impact, then there is a price that comes with it, and it's not going to feel comfortable in many seasons. The choice is yours, though, and the choice is mine to make with God every day. The renewed mind can see God where He may be unseen. In a time of transition, you may also find that old, unhealthy emotional roots are that just kind of laid there and didn't really make much effect. It's coming and becoming highlighted by God because He's marking it and He's saying, I'm going to uproot that. I need your cooperation to uproot that in order because I want to take you a new day to move you, progress you forward into new levels of relationship with me, new levels of who you are in the kingdom. And often working through the uprooting of this is actually the rite of passage into which God will open up the new season. And so it's important we seek God for discernment. Transition doesn't mean passivity. It actually will often require proactiveness and intentional partnership with God. Just as with labor and delivery, when a woman has to birth a new child, there's a lot of hard, uncomfortable work involved. But good news, it doesn't have to feel alone, and you're not alone, because we have each other and God's greatest support. Because it is Him that is doing that work in us. And we need only to cooperate. It's not something that we have to strive to make happen. Cooperate. Hear what the Lord is saying. Cooperate. Hear what the Lord is saying. Cooperate. Continue to push away the voices of the enemy that come against you. And in this time, some of you will need to prayerfully seek out people that you've never sought out, or resources, or something that you've never tapped into before to access that fresh level, to walk with God through the time of transition. You know, went to a deliverance seminar recently by this gentleman named Rob Reber, and he says something that Sam always says. He says, if you're doing the same thing all the time and not accessing fresh levels, then he says, try new things. There's a lot taking place in a time of transition. And ultimately, God is perfecting us. Because we are saints. Yes, we are sinners, but we are saved by grace, and now we are saints who are being perfected by God in three ways. Firstly, God perfects us in our into his likeness and image, removing every defilement of the flesh, because the flesh is not of the new you or me. And as God is perfecting us and removing the defilement of the flesh, it may feel like, what's going on? It may feel like I have no rights. But the truth is, we don't. 1 Peter 5:10 says, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Every unclean defilement of our own will have to go. Every bitter root judgment, expectancy that defiles will have to go. Flesh is not of us. We are a people of the Spirit, and Spirit with a capital S, Holy Spirit, God's people. We are regenerated by Him, and we're fully in Christ. And when we try to maintain a portion of ourselves, our flesh, we struggle and battle in a way that we need not. God's kingdom is extraordinarily profound, intensely mysterious at times, but the principles by which God does his work are actually quite simple. Simple enough to be said in few words, simple enough for children to embrace it and learn it and abide in it. Love, pray, forgive, thank, submit, give, honor, abide, repent, encourage, serve, etc., etc. Secondly, God is perfecting us to be more effective in his works. Can you say, I want to be effective in God's work? We must not neglect that every one of us has been called to the commission that Jesus gave before he left. Every one of us. It's our responsibility to be accountable to the work that God has for each one of us. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So on that day of judgment, when we face our Father and we face Jesus face to face, it's telling us that we have to account for the works and for how we lived our life. Thirdly, God is perfecting us as one body in Christ. as a bride prepared for him in his return. And this is not just the body here as a church, but the universal church. Ephesians 5:27 says that he, Jesus, might present her, that's us, to himself, a glorious church, not having a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Third transition that we might be in, that you might be in, is circumstantial or situational. Can you say that? So it may be that through your circumstances, God is doing some rearranging that's setting you up for a new season, and you may have already entered it. Maybe this is required, somehow this has required of you to give more of yourself than you feel comfortable. Maybe it's requiring you to give more energy or effort or finances or something unnatural to what it was required of you before. Or maybe it feels like circumstances are taking away from you or moving in the opposite of what you've been asking for of the Lord or of his promise that's been spoken over you. But the key is, regardless of the situation, again, is to hear the Lord, to see the Lord through the renewed mind. The renewed mind will always be able to see the nature of God in every situation and won't go crazy. We can have peace because we trust. And the key is not to resent or despise what is happening during transition. And we grow in resentment and we despise our situations when we begin to complain. As I myself are in a time of transition since the fall of last year, which is very interesting because the latter 2 years were so amazing from 2017, right? And then we're just so incredible, like I never, it was just so really great, okay? So somehow around 2004, I hit like a roadblock. I couldn't put a finger on it, I couldn't get it out of it. You know, I wasn't sure what's going on. But the Lord recently encouraged me and affirmed to me very clearly that I am in transition. And during that, coming out of the fall of last year and into this year, I hear myself complain more than I do. I'm usually not a complainer. I don't think I am. My kids know that. But I hear myself, I listen to myself, and I make complaints. It's important not to fall into complaining and resenting the situation. And it's hard. I will tell you, for some of you, it's really hard. And I'm not speaking this lightly. But there are three keys that I'm going to share with you that God's offering you. And if you hold on to them, you will be empowered to ride out the transition well. I'm telling you, I know some of you are in some hard places where you feel like I've been here forever. But I'm telling you, that is not God. Be intentional, be proactive, hear the Lord, seek out new avenues to work on whatever it is that God is wanting to do in this season. But he does not want you there. He wants to take you to a fresh level. It is already the heart of the Father to bless you to portions that we actually can't even believe for ourselves. Or think we even deserve. The first key I want to give you is trust. Can you say trust? We need to trust that God knows what he's doing. Yes, he does. Say, God knows what he's doing. And that he's working on our behalf. Says, God is working on my behalf. God is fighting on my behalf. Our present struggles may tempt us to think otherwise, but we need to declare the goodness of God always. We need to proclaim it out loud if we need to. We need to sing a song if we have to. Every transition that God moves us through begins with his work within us and a new level of relationship with him. Luke 17:21 says, "For indeed the kingdom of God is within you." Trust requires the laying down of our rights. Rights to understand, rights to control, rights to be right, right to complain, right to hold offense, right, etc., etc., etc. But we can lay down those rights when we choose trust. If you do not choose trust, you will not be able to lay down those rights. Reject all the voices that oppose trust in God, because I would tell you, these voices are not your friends. No matter how logical they may sound, they are not your friends. They're something else. And sometimes something else comes disguised very logically and very nicely. Trust is the foundation to relational development. If trust is cracked, it's the foundation to relational development. Meaning everything in relationship built upon trust. The depth of relationship builds upon trust. And if that foundation is cracked, it's not going to be able to build on the relationship. So that foundation has to be addressed first. That trust has to be addressed first. The frequency to which we turn our heart to God and desire to turn our heart to God, it will tell us to the measure that we actually are able to trust the Lord. Trust and faith are built together, and the fruit of that is peace. Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, this is a chapter where it's talking about the armor of God that we're to wear. And it says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will able to extinguish all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So when we embrace faith as our friend, we are walking in trust, we actually are well protected, because when the enemy is shooting fiery darts at us, that faith prevents those darts from going into us. But once we are low, we have laid down faith. The darts that come at us will shoot into hearts, and they are not merciful. So we need to armor ourselves with faith, work on the foundation of trust, so that God can build on His relation, on that foundation with you. Trust will enable us to ride through any turbulence without fretting, but with strength and thanksgiving. Number two key that I want to share with you today is humility. And this is something that God's been speaking to me about. Say humility. Humility is a protective cover that brings us under the grace of God. It's a protective cover that when we humble ourselves, we come under the grace of God. Grace is not to be taken lightly. Everything good that we have and everything good that we are is by God's grace. As Sam preached last Sunday, grace is personal and it's powerful. Grace is what resolves God's will in our lives. It's the grace of God. Humility releases cooperation with God so he could resolve all things for our good as he works on our behalf. But any pride that we have, any pride will oppose God, without realizing that really it is God that we are opposing. You know, in Exodus 14 to 16, we see the account of the Israel, actually, from Exodus, you know, pretty much to almost all of Exodus, we see the account of the Israelites as they are in transit from bondage into their promise. And interesting, there was a short route, but God says, I will not take them through the short route because the Philistines are there. They would have to go through the Philistines. And they're not ready for that kind of, they're not ready. They're not mature. They aren't quite there yet as an army of God. So he takes them through the long route. Bad for them. But in the long route, everything is tested and everything surfaces. And that's just how it works in transition, too. In the test, everything surfaces. And I'm like, oh, you know, all that I thought I was, I'm not. You know, the Lord has to deal with it. Anyway, in the story of the Israelites, you see them, amazing, incredible account of how God takes them out of Egypt, and then they're faced the Red Sea, and then behind them is coming the Egyptians to get them. And they panic under this difficulty. What are they going to do? And the first miracle, amazing miracle that they experience is the splitting of the Red Sea. So God commands the raising of Moses' staff. The Lord tells him to. And then the sea splits in half, and you see underneath it the dry waters, right? And then the Israelites walk through, and then it closes on the Egyptians. And then you see the transit in chapter 15 of Exodus, where Moses and the Israelites are singing a song to the Lord. Oh my goodness, can you imagine what they just witnessed? And they're resounding and singing. And then from there, they're in Exodus 16, they're taking into the desert of Shur. And for 3 days, they travel without water. I'm pretty thirsty right now, right? After talking for 30, 40 minutes. But can you imagine for 3 days in a desert with no water? That's really a test. And whatever's lying there is going to start to surface. Right? And then finally they get to Mara. Oh my goodness, there's water in Mara. Beautiful place. Water never looks so great. They go to drink it, and what is it? It's bitter. And now they've had it. What is this, like a joke? They're angry, they grumble, and they complain. Then the Lord works through Moses, and they get fresh water. Relief. Transition's hard. Then from there, they go again. Okay, they travel quite a bit. Oh, no, from there, they go into Elam. And in Elam, they have 12 springs. They have 70 palm trees. They're living it up for a while. For a little bit, till that, again, God transitions them into the desert of sin. And there, they're encountered with hunger. And they're encountered with the realities of their travel. They've been traveling. Now this is like, what are we doing? Where are we going? Where's the food? Back in Egypt, we had meat every day. We ate as much as we wanted. Everything's starting to look, they must have not eaten for a while, because now they're really hallucinating. It was all so great. And they start grumbling, and all of their bitter roots are coming up. And the Lord instructs them, if you do what I tell you to do, and you listen to me, you're going to be all right. Bottom line. That's not what he says, but that's the bottom line. Okay? And then he's giving them food and gives them instruction. But you know what Moses and Aaron say in this situation? Twice they say, when you complain, people... I'm not saying this to you guys. When you complain, people, you're not complaining against us. Who are we? We're just your leaders. But you're complaining against God. So why did I end up here? Oh, because I'm saying, when I complain about my situations, I am really complaining against the Lord. And I need to be humble. I need to humble myself and accept the work that God is doing in me. I need to die to myself so that God could help me through the difficulties that I am feeling in transition. Because the Lord gives us clear promises that we're going to be okay. We just read together 2 Corinthians 4, 8 to 10. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, yes, but not forsaken. It says we're cast down, but we're not destroyed. We're always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifest through us. Amen? So Jesus wore a brown cloak of humility, and Jesus, the King of Kings, walked the dirt road. And in this present day, in this convenient, beautiful Bergen County area that we live in, we also, reminder to us as believers, people of God, are required to wear the brown cloak of humility and not embrace the glossy cloak that the world says we must carry. And we also, as people of God, have to walk the dirt road just as Jesus did. What does this mean? It means Jesus was despised, Jesus was rejected, Jesus was dishonored, and he was spit on. And in a measure of our relationship with God, in a measure of our journey with God, we are also to identify with the sufferings of Jesus. 1 Peter 4:13 says, "But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." It's not easy, but God's compassion is with us as we face deeply disappointing moments, as we face betrayals, accusations made against us, constant demands of us that we cannot meet, feeling like you fail people, misunderstandings of us, feeling battered and feeling bruised by people in lifetime, by life itself at times. But Jesus assures us that he too was battered and bruised beyond what we could ever even conceive for most of us. Yet he remained silent and accepted his cross because of his humility. And our identification with the sufferings of Jesus, which God actually calls in his word momentary afflictions. He's telling us this life, 80, 90 years, is but a moment. It says in verse 17, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The final key that I want to offer you and leave you with is endurance. Can you say endurance? Endurance is remaining in the game even if it's painful and not giving up or giving in. So I started working out like 3 months ago, and honestly, you know what is where the battle comes? Not the body as much, to be honest. It's in the mind. You know, sometimes I'm like, why am I enduring this? I'm like dying at some points. I'm like, why are you doing this again? You're not trying to lose weight. You don't have health issues. Why are you doing this? You know, there's this mind, and I want to give up at 30. And be like, Lisa, I did 30 today. But I want to learn endurance. That's what I tell myself. I want to learn to endure. Endure the pain. Endure the struggle. This is what I tell myself as I exercise, okay? Endurance. Romans 5, 3, and 4 says, but we also glory in tribulations. We glory knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character will produce hope. Where there is endurance, there is the stamina to remain in Christ, which we call character. And where there is character of Christ, I will guarantee you, hope will always be found. Character is developed under the pressures of tribulation and the warfare of what Satan brings against us. God wants to help us endure. He will help us endure as we yield to him in trust and in humility. James Gall, who is a prophetic, charismatic leader, says every battle we survive is a graduation to new realms of authority. There is an end to the tunnel of transition, but the way we travel through the tunnel is going to bring us out to a new road or remain the same. In Apostle Paul's epistle to Timothy, he says, 2 Timothy 2:3, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ. And this is a man who 5 times was 39 times lashed, was 3 times beaten with rods, 1 stoned, 3 times shipwrecked, day and a night spent in the deep ocean, been on frequent journeys, dangers from rivers, robbers, countrymen, Gentiles, city, wilderness, sea, false brethren. And he says, many, many nights, sleepless nights of hard labor, in hunger and thirst and starvation, often without food, and being in the cold and exposure. And he says, on top of all of this that I have to endure, and I have endured, he says, I have the daily pressure and concerns to all of the churches. He endured all of this. And at the end, we find him saying, at the end of his journey, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Amen. Let's pray. You know, as I was preparing the message and knowing what a good number of you are going through, I said, Lord, I don't wanna I don't want to give them something that's not from you. Like, I don't want to push them to places that they can't be put. You know, they just, you know, where it will break them. I just want to offer them what you have, God, because you have the good thing. You have the right thing that they need, not me. And the Lord, you know, impressed upon me that good thing is my word. Give them my word, because my word will remain with them, and it will stabilize them and stand in the midst of their storm. So I bring you this word in confidence that God is speaking to us as a body. As I have great anticipation for where God will take each one of you, myself, and the body of Catalyst in the seasons to come. And I've seen the Lord transition, and I've seen him do incredible things. And I believe for that. And I believe it to the place where I say, God, I lay my life down. So if the message spoke to you today, would you just take time to just commune with God and talk to him about the different things that he may have convicted you about or spoken to you about? Maybe you could take time to repent where you need to repent and where you have not agreed with him, where you may have resisted him, when it's really the goodness of the Lord that's wanting to move you forward and out from where you are into a new, fresh place. So I ask you, Holy Spirit, I ask you, Lord, to bring understanding and revelation to what you're doing in the heart of your people. Because the blueprint of heaven that is over the life of each one of them is so amazingly good and satisfying and complete.